In the absence of light, there's suffocating darkness. The curse of sin has brought loneliness, pain, separation and death. But God spoke light into the darkness, bringing order, creating life, giving freedom, bringing joy. In Christ, he has spoken his final word, and with that word, he is still speaking. We are listening. For we are his church, a people created to make him known, a people of light, bringing hope where there's only hopelessness. We are missionaries, sent by God into his world to speak his word. It's who we are and it's why we exist. He calls us, he compels us, and he's commissioned us for his kingdom. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." So we answer his call. We go, we make disciples, we train leaders, we plant churches. Because every church planted is a new community of change and transformation. A community where his people flourish. Disciples multiply, relationships are reconciled. Marriages are restored, the lost found, the poor remembered, the widow served, the orphan embraced. Grace upon grace. This is why we exist as a diverse global network of church planting churches. God is glorified as the name of Christ is made famous and we experience his beautiful redemption in our churches, impacting our neighborhoods, our towns, our cities, our nations. This is the hope for the world. We've been called, and this is our response.
I don't know what it is about someone with an accent, but they sound smarter and more convincing. You know, Australian, British, New Zealand, whatever the accent, it just does something inside, you know, just really gets the heart pumping. That was a video from a church planting network called Acts 29, which is a church planting network that we are actually a part of because we believe that the gospel is what we need, and the way that the gospel goes out best is through the church because that is what God designed. Right, he designed the church to be his body, to be his hands and feet that would go out into the world and spread his love, spread his good news. And so we're excited that we get to be a part of that. You know, when the gospel collides with your world, radical things begin to happen. Back in January 28th, 2007, I had just gotten married, and we did what most married couples do. We went on honeymoon. And Jennifer, she wanted to go somewhere unique. And so I searched and searched, and we ended up going to the Dominican Republic, which was really fun. We had a blast. It was great. It was beautiful. The water was beautiful. The hotel was beautiful. The food was great. I mean, everything was wonderful. I mean, it was just this week where everything was about you. I mean, you were just waited on hand and foot, and everything was just perfect. It just so happened that 1 year later, we went back to the Dominican Republic, but this time we went on a mission trip. And it was culture shock. And the gospel collided with our world. Because I think about us on our honeymoon, at least me in my mindset, I'm sure Jennifer's wasn't like this, but it was all about me. It was about my world. It was about my story. It was about building up my life, increasing my life, increasing my pleasure, increasing my comfort. That's what it was about. My entire trip was about me. And a year later, that same place, the gospel collided with my story, and I realized that just a stone's throw away from where we were having the week of our lives, there were people in deep, desperate need. We saw people in abject poverty. We saw people that were rejected by the entire people group of the Dominicans. They were Haitians that were there illegally. And it was crazy. I mean, our eyes were open, and it was insane what happened. But I think the thing that impacted us most was not their poverty or their situation as compared to ours, although that was deeply impactful. But it was the way that the gospel, the love of Jesus, shined brighter than any of that. I remember walking away from that situation and actually feeling the most odd feeling I thought I could ever feel. I felt jealous. I walked away from people that had nothing, that would live for 2 weeks with a family on one bag of rice, that had one pair of shorts and one t-shirt, and I walked away jealous because they had something that I didn't have. They had the fullness of Jesus. They were passionate about Jesus. They were in love with their Heavenly Father. They were sustained in ways that I was not, with all the comforts of this world. When the gospel collides with your world, it does radical things. Renaud, our lead pastor, was speaking this weekend at the Oakland campus, and he said something really interesting. He said, when you see people in poverty, you see people in need, you see people that are destitute, your heart is impacted. I mean, if you have any kind of empathy or mercy in your heart at all, you're impacted, and you want to do something about it. He said, but that wears off. And I agree. Every time I've seen something like that, I've wanted to do something about it, but after a while, it's kind of worn off, and I forget because I get to be about my world again, and I'm building up my world and my story again, and I forget about that, and I stop doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But when the gospel is your motivation, when you see people that not only need earthly things, but need eternal things, and you see that you can be a part of impacting their world for eternity, changing their lives eternally, it doesn't go away. Especially when you begin with the premise that that's me. I am spiritually bankrupt apart from God. That I was in desperate, deep need of saving, and God saved me. And now I get the opportunity to enter into that story. This week is going to be a little bit different. We're jumping out of the series, and we're doing what we call Mission Serve. And we have two different weeks during the year that we do Mission Serve. We have Mission Serve Local, which is going to be in the fall. And then we have Mission Serve Global, which is today, where we are taking some time, taking a Sunday, and we're focusing on a story that is much bigger than our little story, than our day and our time and our hopes and our dreams and our stuff. God is doing God-sized things in the world, much bigger than we can see, much bigger than we can imagine. And he invites us into that story. And so at Mosaic, what we want to do is continually remind ourselves, because we forget so easily, that there is a bigger story going on and that we can be a part of it. We have a great privilege tonight. There are a number of people that are going to be here and share. And the first person that I'm going to bring up is Gabe Forsyth. Gabe is our missions pastor. You can go ahead and come on up, Gabe. And I'm just going to ask Gabe some questions and get him to share with us. Gabe is an unbelievable man of God. I am continually, taken back by the ways that God shines powerfully through Gabe. He's one of our elders, and I love sitting in elders' meetings with Gabe because I know every time he opens his mouth, it's going to be great, it's going to be brilliant. And in fact, I got to hear him share on Thursday afternoon some of the things he's going to share, and I was just thinking, how can I just get him to share those exact same things again? So you guys are going to get to experience that. So Gabe, why don't you just start by kind of telling us your story, how you... God developed a heart of missions in or a heart for missions in you, and why you became the Mosaic Missions pastor.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. So when I was 6 years old, I was living in Arkansas. And that's where I was born and grew up, in a small town in Arkansas. And a missionary came and visited our home church. And my parents were really plugged into our home church. They were singing on the worship team, and they were serving in children's ministry and youth ministry. And And this missionary came and he shared what he was doing down in Guatemala. And he shared it on an old school projector. I don't know if any of you guys remember those or were even born then when they had those projectors that click through, old school projectors, and Ray Bolt's playing in the background, you know. But to see these pictures of kids and ministry in Guatemala. And so this missionary shared, and it stirred my dad's heart. And so afterwards, my dad went up to him and said, "What's your greatest need right now? What do you need? How can I serve you?" And he said, "Well, I'm on my way back down to Guatemala. I'm driving down there, and I would really like to not drive alone. And you know, would you want to come down there with me?" And so my dad said, "Sure, I'll drive down with you." And so he took time off work and drove down. It took him about a week to get down there, driving through Mexico all the way down to Guatemala. Got him down there safely, delivered the supplies for the ministry, and then flew home. And when my dad got home, the first thing he said to my mom was, we're moving to Guatemala." Yeah. So my mom was like, "Okay, let's do it." And they began to tell people, and some people in our church thought they were a little crazy, and my grandparents certainly thought they were crazy, and like, "Where are you taking our grandbabies?" And they're like, "It's okay, it's going to be all right." So we moved down to Guatemala, and I was 7 years old, just sitting in the car. I remember vividly looking out the window as we crossed into Mexico, and it was a whole new world, and just seeing the difference between Texas and then you cross into Mexico, and everything looks different. And so that was my childhood. I grew up in Guatemala over the next 5 years, learned to speak Spanish, and we hosted lots of teams from the United States, and so that was my childhood. And then we moved back to the States when I was in junior high, and during junior high and high school, I really, you know, went through a season of saying, you know, that was that challenge. Chapter now, you know, I didn't see myself ever doing missions again or getting involved in missions again. But my senior year in high school, God began to stir my heart again, and I went on a mission trip back to Guatemala, actually. And then from there, over the last decade, I've been able to go to 18 different countries on 14 different mission trips all over the world. I've been in small villages and rural places in Turkey and Morocco. I've been in big cities all around the world, sharing the gospel one-on-one, sharing the gospel to big crowds, and it's become, you know, a passion of mine. And so when I had the opportunity to step into the mission pastor role at Mosaic, it was like a dream come true. It was a dream job to be able to take people on mission trips, encourage people to live on mission. It's just awesome.
Wow. So what would you say is Mosaic's missions philosophy when it comes to world missions, and why do we do it that way?
Yeah. So at Mosaic, we do two things when it comes to global mission. First of all, we go. That's what Scripture says. Matthew 28 says, "Go into all the world and make disciples." So we go. We encourage you guys to go into your workplace, into your neighborhoods, into your social circles, and to go make disciples. And then to go beyond the local, to go and serve globally. And the second way that we get involved is we partner. We look for like-minded individuals, churches, organizations that are doing great work around the world that's about the gospel, that it's about the good news of who Jesus is, and that's about helping people physically, spiritually, emotionally. And so we look for those kind of holistic partners to partner with us, and we go and we serve alongside them. We're here in Orlando. We can't be here and there at the same time, but we can through those partnerships. And so we look for those partners. And the two kind of partnerships that we look for is, Brady mentioned earlier, church planting. We're all about church planting. We believe that if we can plant churches, we're going to reach more people. That the best way to reach people that aren't being reached is to plant new churches. That new churches reach more people and new people. And we've experienced this firsthand here with you guys at the Disney campus. Probably most of you would not have gotten connected to Mosaic if it wasn't through this Disney campus. And same with our other campus, the Winter Garden campus, that there's people that have been reached there and gotten connected there because we started something new. And so we're all about partnering with people starting new churches, whether it's Orlando or outside of Orlando around the world. And then the other kind of partnership we look for is justice and mercy. We really believe that the gospel is demonstrated most powerfully through works of justice and mercy. When we can come like Jesus did and he fed the 5,000 or he healed the sick, that we can come and we can meet people's physical needs alongside the gospel and say, this is a picture of what God's done for us. When we care for the orphan or we rescue girls from trafficking and we say, this is how God has rescued us spiritually, we want to do that physically because because God is redeeming everything, not just our souls, but he's also redeeming our purpose and restoring us to him.
Wow. Would you mind telling us maybe just a couple of stories that Mosaic is partnering with so that if we attend Mosaic faithfully and perhaps even give, where our money might be going?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a number of partnerships. We actually have 15 global partners in 14 different countries. And so not going to be able to tell you about all of them, but just a few. One of the church planting partners that we have is in Brazil. And I know some members of the Disney campus have gone and served in Brazil. And so Jay Bauman and his wife Lou are down there. They used to live here in Orlando. He was an executive pastor of a church here in Orlando called Crosspoint. He helped start that church, and then God began to stir in his heart for Brazil. And so they moved their family down there several years ago and began just building relationships with pastors in the community and guys who were interested in starting new churches. And over the last few years, we're really seeing a movement happen there, which is really exciting because not only is Jay planting a church himself, but he is investing in tons of pastors. Each month he has about 30 pastors that come together to talk about how they're going to make a difference in the city of Rio. And then at several times a year, he puts on an even bigger pastors conference to train pastors from all over Brazil on what it looks like to reach Brazil. So that's one of our church planting partners. And then one of our justice and mercy partners that we've shared with you guys about before is Brandon and Natasha Butler. They lived here in Orlando, and he was teaching at a private school, and they had their daughter India, and they were, in many ways living the dream here in Orlando. They had bought a house in College Park, and had no reason to uproot and move. But God began to stir in their hearts a desire to go and live on mission. And so they went to Ethiopia, and they lived in Ethiopia for a year and a half, and it was a really hard experience. They faced a lot of obstacles and ended up not being able to stay there long term because of visas. And so they came back, and in coming back, we were asking them, well, what's next? And they could have just settled back into life here in Orlando, but they didn't feel like God was done with that story. And so they really began to pray, and God led them to Cambodia. And so they moved over to Cambodia from Ethiopia, over to Cambodia, and moved there to work with an organization called Agape International Mission, who is rescuing girls from that have been sex trafficked, and seeing these girls see their lives restored. And that's their ultimate goal, is to see the community transformed as these girls' lives are impacted with the gospel, and they help them both spiritually in discipleship as well as practically in jobs. And they have an employment center. They have some that make T-shirts, some that we have sold here before and are selling tonight. They also make bracelets. They have several bakeries where girls that maybe aren't interested in making T-shirts but would be interested in making cakes, and they make some ridiculously awesome cakes. You have to ask Brooke Gasseret about these cakes and cupcakes that they make. It's phenomenal. But those are just two of our partners doing church planting, doing justice and mercy, and making a huge impact.
How many different partners are we supporting right now?
15.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 15 different stories we are jumping into with everything that we can. That's really cool. So if someone is sitting here tonight, or at some point in their life they feel maybe God laying on their heart or the gospel colliding with their story and realizing that there is a bigger story that they should be a part of, what are some ways that they could get involved here at Mosaic with world missions?
Yeah, great question. So if you guys, are feeling that stirring in your heart, there's several ways that you guys can jump in. One is when you give financially here, we're a church that likes to give away, give away and support these partners. And so the more that we each give, the more we can give away, and the more partners we can support, and the more ministry that can happen. And so that's one way, is giving generously through Mosaic. You can also give directly. If there's a particular partner that you're really interested in, like Agape International Mission, you can give directly to them and support a specific project or support a specific initiative that they have. And that's a huge way to get involved, in an easy way that we all, that doesn't take a lot to just you know, commit to giving financially. So that's kind of the first easy step. The next thing is to go and serve. Several people here at the Disney campus have gone with us to Cambodia, to Brazil, to Guatemala, and you're going to hear some more about that later. But we are constantly looking for opportunities to go and serve. And whether it's a trip that we've planned or a trip that you guys plan together to go and serve with one of our global partners, you know, for a short-term basis, a week or two. And then the final way is that to consider and pray about going more long-term, to say, God, when you're done with me here in Orlando, where do you want me next? If we're all living on mission here, then we should be ready at any moment to say, God, if you're stirring in my heart and, okay, now's the time, maybe you go and you give a year or two to serve in Cambodia or Brazil or in some other country. We have partners in North Africa, in different parts of Asia, Europe, Latin America, to go and say, God, how do you want to use my gifts and talents and skills to help this ministry? Maybe some of you have, God is putting in your heart to start something new, to do something we're not even doing yet. And so you say, you begin to prepare and go long-term to start something brand new, a brand new church, a brand new ministry, a brand new justice and mercy initiative. Could be awesome.
Wow. Thanks. Well, Gabe has traveled a ways to be here, and he's had a very busy weekend. So why don't you give him a round of applause for coming here and sharing with us.
Thanks guys.
I'll just pretend the last half of that was for me, so thank you. Thanks, guys. You didn't have to, really. Gabe's going to be sticking around afterwards, so if you have any questions about missions, if you have any questions about calling, please find Gabe and ask him. He's got a brilliant mind, and he has been wrapped up in this world for many, many years. So find him, ask him some questions. We have two girls that I want to invite up here, Allie and Elise, if you two ladies would come up here and share with us. Allie and Elise just went on a short-term mission trip. You can go front or behind, either way. There's no rules. Yeah, that one gets the handheld, so there you go. So, ladies, why don't you share with us, tell us a little bit about your story and how, where you went, what you did, things like that.
Okay, so I am an intern at Mosaic Oakland with the Student Ministries, and they had a mission trip to Guatemala in March. And so that was my first mission trip, and so we got to go down to Guatemala, and we went to an orphanage called Fund de Niños, and it was right near Guatemala City. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
So Fund de Niños is an orphanage, in which the government has actually taken children out of their homes in their current situations and put them into this home. So they're under protection of the government. In order to be taken out of your home in Guatemala, the situation has to be obscene, like things we can't even imagine. And we were told a couple of the stories of the children, and if that's a fraction of what we found out, I just can't imagine. So that was interesting to be in that situation. Well, I'll go ahead and bring that up. We talked a little bit about the idea of, if we're supposed to bring the idea of God the Father to these children, how do you look at this child who's probably been in a situation at some point with a father who's not being godly, and say, God the Father is the greatest dad in the whole world. Can't you imagine? Well, no, they can't. So one question that we asked was, how do you even portray that? And what our group came to the idea of is that God the Father fills those gaps. So however your earthly father has failed, God the Father will, A, never fail you in that way, and he will also, he will just fulfill what an earthly father is. And so I'm probably jumping into too much, too deep, too fast, but that was something interesting that we learned.
And then just how you got to go to Guatemala, even though you don't go to Oakland.
Oh, yeah. So... So you guys are obviously part of the WDW Church. I actually have never been to an Oakland service before, a gathering. And we, so I just want to encourage you guys, if you're thinking like, oh, Oakland's the big church, they have the budget to do the mission trips. Sorry, not an excuse anymore, because I went. And, but it was, I'm an outgoing person, and I was even a little nervous, like, well, I don't really know too many people. And it's just amazing. The Lord never fails me in surprising me how quickly he can bond people. And I instantly just bonded with the Holy Spirit. And so we can talk about a typical day at Funda Niños, what that looked like. Do you want to tell
me? Yeah, so a typical day would be we would wake up around like 6 o'clock. Well, we always were planning to wake up at 6, but we'd wake up at like 6.
To the roosters.
Yeah, literally to the roosters. And then we got to go eat breakfast with the orphans, and that was incredible. That was really where we got to have the most conversations with them and just have the most fun. And then they would go off to school, and we got to do some service projects. So some of the boys, what they would do, they like leveled off the ground and they worked in the yard. And then a lot of the other students and some of the leaders, we painted buildings and we sanded things and we organized a lot of clothes and just kind of whatever Dennis and Barbara, who were the people who ran Funda Niños, whatever they needed, we kind of just tried to mold and be the hands to help them with that. And then we got to eat lunch with the kids again. And then we got to, when they finished school, we got to play with them. And that was also an incredible time that we just got to really build relationships.
So what are some of the ways that this trip impacted your life, perhaps changed your perspective or affected your heart?
One of the ways that I was challenged on this trip that I did not expect to be challenged was with food. I'm from the South. We like to eat, and we like to eat a lot. And I didn't even realize that food was an idol in my life until I got there. One thing that Mosaic does very well that I didn't even realize, we were told before the trip, you will eat everything that is on your plate, and you will not complain. Because Americans, as you may know, are very known for being picky, and we're also known for throwing a lot, taking heaps of food, the invention of the buffet, you know, and then throwing a lot away. And so at first that sounded, I was like, got it, like, yeah, duh, I can eat all that. Well, I don't know if I was picturing, like, gourmet tortillas and tacos every night, but we ate beans and eggs every meal. And really quick story. So the first day, they look at us and they go, have we got a surprise for you? We have made an American food for your dinner. We were like, yes. They were like, hot dogs. I was like, yes, this is going to be an awesome mission trip. And so we sit down to eat our hot dogs, and it was beautifully prepared with loving hands. But it was hot dog bun that was relatively soggy with vinegared Vienna sausages stuck into it with avocado, mayonnaise, and ketchup. And so I'm like, yeah, like first night, like, I'm gonna do this. And so I put down one, like, look at this hot dog eating contest, you see, I'm like, got it. And the second one, I start slowing down, and I was like, you know what, it's for the Lord. So I did it. Well, after a while, throughout the week, we started seeing you'd have variations of, it'd be refried beans and scrambled eggs. And then in the morning for breakfast, you'd have pinto beans with scrambled eggs mixed in. And then for dinner, you'd have a tortilla with eggs in it and, you know, and refried beans on the side. And it just took something away from me that I didn't realize was an idol, which is having my choice of food and choosing when to eat it.
Another idol that kind of came up for me was cell phones. They didn't give us the Wi-Fi password, which was awesome because, unfortunately, I am so grateful that I didn't have that and that I couldn't use my phone at all, because I think if I was given that privilege, I would have abused it and I wouldn't have spent as much time with Dennis or Barbara or the kids. And so that kind of also brought up some things in my life of when I came back here, I was able to reevaluate, like, why am I using my cell phone so much? Why are we all connected to them so much when we can be having intentional conversations and making intentional relationships and talking about Jesus to other people instead of like going on Instagram and stuff? So that was really cool for me.
The comment was made to us, Americans, they've seen Americans, they'll come and do an hour's worth of work and post about it on Facebook for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that, I was just like, ugh, you know, because I was like, Instagram, selfies with the Guatemalan kids, you know, and like, and it's great to document your memories, but to have that temptation kind of just, hey, let's not even give you that temptation. Yeah. It was amazing. It was life-changing. Mm-hmm.
So what you ladies are saying is you don't need to be perfect to go on a mission trip, basically.
Well, I mean, be close.
We were.
No, yeah, you don't have to be perfect. Another point is you don't have to be outgoing. I think I just said that, but a point that was brought up to us in orientation was you're going to be tempted to only pay attention to the kids that are like, "Bit, let's play soccer, let's do crafts," like the outgoing kids. They said, please, please don't forget about the kids that are hanging back because they want your attention just as much.
Yeah. And so some of you might be a little bit intimidated to go out and serve, but even if you're the shy ones, there's shy people out there, and then there's shy long-term missionaries, and there's shy children if you're at an orphanage, or there's so many different people, and everyone's gifts can be used to glorify the kingdom. And so whether you're going to be like running the VBS like Elise did, or maybe hanging back in the back and just like holding on to a kid while they watch Elise be a secretary, like whatever you do is going to be awesome, and God's going to use your gifts for that. And that was really cool too, to watch that happen with the students and with some of the leaders.
That's really fun. I know that when God calls me to do something unique or missional, something outside of myself, the enemy tries to get me to not go, to not do, to not give. Did either of you experience any of that? And what were some things that you helped?
So I struggled with two things. I was telling Brady and Allie earlier. One thing I don't struggle with is planning details. I don't struggle with that. I like to just like go with the flow, whatever, let's go to Guatemala. So I decided in one night, we were like headed out somewhere, and I found out there may be a space open, and I said, I'm gonna go to Guatemala. And I emailed and asked and got on the trip, and then I texted my husband, I was like, hey, I'm gonna go to Guatemala. So maybe reverse that. But one thing I struggled with was the enemy saying, Elise, that you are obviously not called by the Holy Spirit because you didn't listen in a sermon and have this come to Jesus moment and cry about it later. Clearly, that's just your emotion. You just want to go travel and get a stamp on your passport, you know? And that really was something that the enemy tempted me to believe, was that I just wanted to travel and take Instagram pictures, you know? And it wasn't true. It wasn't. The Lord had me going on that trip for a reason, and there are 50 little reasons running around in Guatemala. And the second reason, or the second thing I struggled with, was at work. I've never been someone, clearly, to be shy. But at work, I found myself saying things like, it's a humanitarian aid trip, you know. I didn't want to say the name Jesus. I didn't want to say the name, we're going to do a vacation Bible school to tell kids about Jesus. I would be like, I'm going to go help orphans, and it's going to be humanitarian, and, you know, PETA, you know, all those things. And that was something I had never come across, but I did, and the Lord has done a lot of healing in my life through that, and I'm bolder now.
And even the next day, we got to go back to work, and Elise was there, and I came in after, and everyone knew about the trip, so, like, Elise had told everyone that she went on a mission trip to Guatemala.
Jesus, I told him to John Jesus. And then I had to go back and calm down. So
yeah. That was really cool.
What did you struggle with?
What I struggled with. Okay, everyone. One thing I struggled a little bit with was money. I was afraid that I wouldn't have enough money. And so what I had done last year, I just had a little bit of money on the side that could pay maybe for a portion of the trip. And I was just encouraged to trust God, and I was like, but I could just use this money, like, it's okay, I don't know if he's going to provide, and Deanna and Holly were like, no, trust God, he's going to provide for you, and so I was like, okay, sure, so I made a little video, and a lot of you guys donated, and God provided the money, like, way faster than I would have ever expected, and it was overwhelming, and I didn't even understand what was going on, and then when I was in Guatemala, God was able to use the money that I originally had planned to go to Guatemala to get some fun little things. And you had something wise to say about
Allie, won't tell
things.
You. She bought all new mattresses for all the kids in the Pique house. But yeah, I mean, these little mattresses were like little springs, and they were like, what? We have this huge stack of mattresses.
But I mean the wise part.
Oh, the wisdom part? Yeah.
The part about like how they light up and... Okay, what she was going to say was that, whatever, the mattresses were cool.
Oh.
But what was even cooler was to watch the kids, like, they were excited about new mattresses. They like did face plants into them. It was fun to watch. But like what was even more cool was to talk to them and to talk to them and play with them. And that's when they
lit
up.
The attention we paid them, they remembered that much more than the Ripstick and the you know DVD player we got them. And
But the struggle was not thinking God would provide. He did.
Brady?
That's great.
Any more questions?
Oh, wow. Yes. Apparently I'm unnecessary here. So you went, you came back, you're here and you have a captive audience. Would you go again? Should someone else go? What's your verdict?
Yes, go.
Yes, absolutely. Not that you should go for your own gain or because you're going to get something, but I told Brady, I would pay. If you came back from a mission trip and told me those kids received more than I did, I would pay you so much money because I guarantee you, you will feel like you received infinitely more than you give. And not that that should be our only reason to go on a mission trip, but I promise you, your mind will be blown because some of you, not that I've ever thought this, might have the mentality of like, I'm an American, and I'm going to come show these kids the Lord, you know, like, you're welcome. And then you're going to, at the end of the trip, you're going to be, like, thanking these children that have nothing because you feel like they've given and given and given. And yeah. I mean, talking about Chi-Chi a little bit. But.
Yeah. Oh, Chi-Chi was just our little friend. And she just taught us a lot about, like, loving us where we're at. And
her name was Shirley. And we couldn't say it, so we said, can we call you Chi-Chi? She said, oh, Chi-Chi.
Yeah. And she was just really fun to. We were saying, we're like, how do we describe Chi-Chi? We can't have any memories, but like, she was just a little picture of Jesus. Like, yeah. She just encouraged us and loved us, and she didn't have any parents and anyone to love her, but she loved us way more than we loved her. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I just think that when you go on a mission trip, chances are you're going to, like, God's just going to show you how big he really is and how much he really loves you and how much he loves this world. And that's really just a, maybe even a selfish part.
You had a good point earlier about, like, your walk with Jesus has happened in Disney World in Orlando, mm-hmm. but.
And so, like, my God, I picture him, like, God of Mosaic and then God of Disney World. And after going to Guatemala and just traveling a little bit, I've just seen that he's the God of this world, and he's way bigger than Mosaic. And
it turns out he's there, too.
Yeah, it turns out he's in Guatemala. Who knew? Oh,
we found him!
Well, ladies, thank you so much for sharing. We really appreciate it. Why don't you guys give them a big round of applause? Thank you. One thing that I think is really neat, on these short-term mission trips, of course, you get blessed a lot, as I have every single time, and it rocks your world. It changes your worldview and your mindset and the way that you look at other countries and the way that you look at yourself and the way that you look at your world and the way that you look at your money and all these kind of things, which is really neat. But a lot of short-term mission trips, I've found as I've had conversations with people, don't really help the people that you go to hang out with. It's just really for, you know, American youth groups to feel better about themselves, which, you know, even it's a good thing to begin to change your worldview and want to support missions. But the thing that I love about what Mosaic does that I've learned through Gabe and Renaud is that we partner with people. What Gabe does is he asks the missionaries, for the 15 stories that we are in heavily, that we are deeply engaged with, where we Skype with them and write them letters. If you guys were a part of that, we wrote some people letters and they had stacks of letters and it just blew them away. But what Gabe does is he asks them, hey, what do you need? Do you need a group to come? No, we don't. Okay, then we won't send a group. But if you need a group to come, we will send a group. What do you need? And we partner with them and try to help them in any way, shape, or form that we can. And what happens is as we partner with them throughout the years is this one Guatemala trip will turn into 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you'll begin to develop relationships. Some of the people that already went are going to go back. And it's just really neat to hear. It's really neat to see the relationship that is built, because when you are someone who's deeply engaged in American culture and English and comfort, and you go long-term somewhere else where they don't speak English and they don't have the same culture and they don't look at stuff the same way, and you're completely out of your comfort zone, it's hard. And when some people come and they visit you that you may never know, but they have some similar life background stories, it's a big deal. It's a great encouragement. And when you get letters and when you get Skyped with and when you get financial support, it's a big deal. So what I want to encourage each and every one of you, ask the Spirit of God if He wants you to go be a part of that. I guarantee He wants you to be a part of missions, because we're all called to that. We're all called to go and make disciples of all nations. And it may in your life be different. It may look different, but some of you may be called to go to long-term missions. Some of you may be called to go and support short-term. Some of you may be called to support financially or write letters or in prayer. But however it is that you feel like you're called, I want you to have the courage to step in and do that. I think for me, what can be difficult in my mind to do this is because I think that it's all me, and the girls mentioned this a bit, but it's all me going to help them, and I just can't relate to what they're getting. And today it just hit me. I am the product of some missionary coming and sharing the gospel with me. I know Jesus because a missionary shared Jesus with me. I am no longer a slave, but I am free. I'm no longer unrighteous, but the righteousness of Christ, because someone was a missionary and shared the gospel with someone who shared the gospel with someone who shared the gospel with me. I have a missionary to thank for the life that I live and the calling that I have and the eternity that I will get to spend with the God of the universe, and so do all of you. I got to talk to my parents today, and my dad told me about a guy who shared with him when he was 17, a missionary that shared with him when he was 17 and really changed his life. And now my dad is a passionate evangelist for Jesus. My mom she went to Young Life when she was 15. She lived in a broken home. Her parents didn't know Jesus. Her brothers and sisters didn't know Jesus. Her household was a little bit crazy. But because someone gave their life to these students in Scottsdale, Arizona, she got to know Jesus, and it radically changed her life. And their lives radically changed mine and are continuing to change mine. And when I think about the fact that I am the product of some missionary giving up their comfort, that my eternity is being changed because of that, it makes me want to go do that. And the crazy thing is, not only are we saved, not only has God invited us into His family, not only do we have a relationship with the God of the universe, not only do we have a hope beyond this world, but eternal hope, but this God says, I want you to be a part of my work in sharing my good news with the world. And you can have the opportunity to impact someone else's life for eternity. Whoever it was that shared the gospel with my mom and shared the gospel with my dad, they don't know this, but they are having an impact in Orlando, Florida, because of what they did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Because I'm in Orlando, Florida, and I get the opportunity to share the gospel. And there are so many different stories like that. And one day, when we are with Jesus, we're going to realize these things that we had no clue about in the ways that God used us in the lives of so many different people. My dad shared this example with me and a few guys not too long ago, but he said he got the opportunity because a friend of his had tickets to go to the Final Four, which is a basketball, college basketball thing, if you don't know. It's a big deal, and they play in this gigantic stadium, and my dad said he was there, and he was up in the nosebleed section of this stadium, and the coaches were coming out, and everyone was applauding for the coaches, and one coach came out who was kind of the underdog coach, and there weren't a lot of fans there for him, and my dad just said, because he's got a heart for the underdogs, he felt like he needed to stand up and applaud for this guy. So he stood up and applaud, and it just kind of caught on, and everyone began to stand to their feet and applaud for this coach. And my dad said that he just kind of had this vision, this thought, that one day he's going to be in heaven, and he's going to be surrounded by myriads and myriads of people. And he said, my son Brady is going to come walking out, and everyone is going to be applauding Brady. And then the people that Brady discipled are going to walk out. Everyone is going to be applauding them because of the life that I got the opportunity to live and the way that I poured Jesus into them. They're going to be walking across the field or whatever it is in heaven because God used me in their lives. And that could be your story, that one day you're going to get to see the amazing impact that you have had because you allowed the Spirit of God to shine mightily through you in the world of missions. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God, and He invites us to have an impact for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a glorious God you are. Thank you so very much for the impact that you have had on our lives. God, thank you that someone chose to give up their time, chose to give up their comfort, chose to give up their desires, their hopes, and their dreams so that someone could hear the gospel and it would travel down so that each and every one of us got the chance to hear the gospel. And now our lives are changed. Now we have a relationship with you. Now we can spend time with you. Now we can start our eternity right here and now. God, thank you so much. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for inviting us into your family. And thank you for the great cost that you paid, that you sent your son, Jesus, so that I, a sinner, a rebel, could be brought into your family. Thank you for sending your son to pay the penalty for all of our sin so that we could be invited into your family. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts, that you would inspire our hearts, that you would challenge our minds and the excuses that we have to not go be a part of world missions. Lord, and I pray that you would show each and every single one of us tonight how it is that you are calling us to engage. And I pray that we would boldly, confidently go and engage. We need you, Lord. Convict our hearts so that we can be a part of something bigger than ourselves, bigger than our little stories and our little worlds. We need you. And so we ask in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.